Welcome to the Late Clean PHP podcast. This is episode 79, the first of 2017. And as always, I have here with me, Matthew Sozins, with cold problems at home. Hello, Arthurs. How are you dealing with the
Well, every day I'm shoveling the snow, so yeah. It's fun, really fun.
But you said you like it is a colder weather, right?
Yeah, it's like, well, it's below minus 10, I think, on Celsius, so it's kind of cold.
It's pretty much like here, it's 32. there must be some global warming, even if it's just on one side of the world. Anyway, we are here to talk about PHP, and I'm going to start just to review briefly the topics of this month, if I'm able to share the screen or not. Okay, 5.6. This is the one. Can you see it now?
Not yet. Loading. Yep, we can see it.
Okay. This month we are going to do as usual, starting with the topics related with the latest versions of PHP. PHP 5.6 end of life has reached, but there was one last version in December. So it will enter in security only fixes from now on.
I just want to add one more thing about it. I just noticed under standard, there is HTTP stream wrapper should ignore HTTP 100 continue code. I think we actually discussed about this in some previous podcast when someone complained that HTTP stream wrapper does not support HTTP 2 protocol.
Yeah.
So I think this fix is related to it. They're listening and they're fixing. Nice.
Yes, I thought they would be doing that for future versions, but okay, that is also fine. Anyway, there was yet another PHP 7.0 release, and there was the first 7.1 release. There was not yet an update, but there probably will be one soon. One each month. We already talked about PHP 7.1 release, but there are other things that are important to know. I already mentioned the end of life of PHP 5.6. There will be still two more years of security fixes support, so don't panic. But I already heard people complaining that their hosting companies have forced them to upgrade to PHP 7.0. It seems somebody already panicked, but well, that's the way it goes. Anyway, moving on, we have an article that we already mentioned last month, but this time we're going to take a look at it closer, which is an article about how the PHP performance evolved over time, at least since PHP 5. And we'll be talking about also what improvements happened in these versions to explain why the performance improved. Next, we are going to start talking about the usual set of proposals for the next PHP versions. We'll talk first about a concept that is being proposed. I don't know if it is going to be approved, but okay. It's a bit confusing, but they call it magic casting, which would allow to cast objects from one type to the expected type in PHP 7 by calling a cast double underscore cast function. It's a bit confusing how it works, but we'll get back to this when we talk about this proposal. Then we have just an RFC that somehow is basically a proposal to update the documentation about error codes of a throwable errors, and basically this is to mention that some error codes could be usually numbers, but could also be strings. So this is probably more a documentation update than an actual feature. Then we'll get back to an old proposal that did not pass in the past. It's like people vote on proposals and then they get back to them later, a few months, when they failed to pass in the previous time. Maybe somebody agrees, maybe somebody changes their mind. But this one is specifically about property assessor syntax, which is a syntax that somewhat is inspired in .NET to define how variables of a class can be set using functions defined inside the class. Then there is a proposal, an RFC, which is also a bit hard to understand because you need to know how PHP works a bit internally. For instance, when you establish a database connection, it returns a resource value, which is in practice an integer, but they want to make it an object. They call it hash context. It's either this or I'm not understanding this feature, but we'll get back to this ahead. Then finally, we'll talk about a proposal for what is called decorated classes. These classes, it's to follow the decorator pattern, which is usually implemented with a subclass that works, defines functions that may be called before and after another function that is being decorated. So the proposal is to add a new keyword called decorates to make it more explicit that this is a decorated pattern. These are the topics for this month. Not many topics, but let's get started with what we already mentioned, which is the release of the last PHP 5 version, PHP 5.629. Actually, it's not the last. It's the last with fixes on features. There will be other versions in the future of PHP 5.6, but those will be exclusively to perform security fixes. This is interesting because people will probably take some time to migrate their code to PHP 7. And this is probably more important for people that have shared hosting because they may not have the control of the versions that they can run. And recently I saw people complaining that since somebody told this is the end of life of PHP 5, some hosts already rushed and forced the upgrade to PHP 7, which caused some chaos because people that have not prepared to upgrade their code, they will be in trouble make it work in a rush. I don't know. And this will be a problem. Well, personally, I've been working on migrating my code to PHP 7 in the development environment. But instead of jumping to PHP 7, I'm going to jump right to PHP 7.1, because if there are any backwards incompatibility changes, and there are some, of course, it's better to fix them to the latest version rather than just do a minor version at a time. So if you are planning to upgrade your PHP version, I suggest that you actually do it this way, if you can. If you do not control the version of PHP that you are using, maybe you have to stick with whatever is the version that you may be running there. Anyway, there was also another version of PHP 7.0.14, which is the usual bug fixes, but there was not yet a new version of PHP 7.1. It will probably appear sometime soon. I did not find any discussions yet, but probably I did not look enough. Anyway, there is no rush, at least for me, because I'm not using PHP 7.1 in production. But I suspect that once a newer major version is released, there will be lots of bugs popping up, because finally people are giving it a serious test. There will be much more people trying it, or not, I don't know, but I think so. Anyway, let's see how this goes. If somebody is complaining about anything, we'll probably hear about it a lot. I was trying to find, because this month we were not able to make a live coding, which is now called Live Edu Work. I was trying to find, okay, I already found the streaming on YouTube. Okay, moving on. As I already mentioned, there will be a backwards, there was already the last version of PHP 5.6 with active support. There will be more versions for the next 2 years with security fixes. I'm sure there will be some, but probably not as frequent.
Just wanted to note that for 5.6, looking from the graph, it seems the only version that would have 2 year security support.
Yeah, I think that's probably because it's a major.
Yeah, so still the ones who are not upgrading, the ones who are not upgrading to 7th version, they could rely on this one for 2 more years.
Yes, if their hosting company does not force them to actually, you have to deal with this new version. But because I already seen people posting on support forums, oh, my hosting company broke my application because they forced me to use PHP 7.0. I think they forced the upgrade, but it didn't break anything, at least for the classes that they were talking about. The problem was not so much with the versions. It was probably some missing extension.
I don't know. I'm using one of the cheapest hostings, and even they have a native version, and then you can run your website in an emulated version in any version, even in 7.1. So that's probably just hosting company not knowing what are they doing, not providing options to clients to run an emulated version, or client doesn't know how to run an emulated version at all. Hard to tell.
And then now, what do you mean by emulated version? You mean a virtual server?
Yes, so I don't know how they do it on the server actually, but yeah, in the settings I see PHP version and it says it has a native, I don't remember, I think I told you in previous podcast, and then you can choose another version to run your code in, so you can set it up per website even. So this website runs in this version, PHP version, this in this one, and
oh, I see.
There's no problem there.
But it's like a shared hosting company?
Yes. Yeah, ByteHost, I think it's called.
I think they have probably different servers for different versions, then they put you in whatever server as the version that you ask.
No, not really, because I have multiple websites on the same FTP server that I access, but they run in different PHP versions. So
right,
they do something something more tricky there.
It's probably a shared file system between different servers.
Yeah, it could be.
It's just a virtual machine accessing this multiple virtual machines accessing the same disk, and or they are just using Docker or something, I think.
Maybe. Progressive hosting, nice.
I don't know, because I have seen people suggesting ways to run both multiple versions of PHP, but I'm not sure if it was that flexible in the end. Okay, moving on to the next topic, we are going to talk about an article that shows the evolution of PHP. And if I can share the screen, it would be great. Here. Okay, so I think I can increase a bit the font. So basically, this is an article by Christian Wieg that compiled all PHP versions since PHP 5.0 through PHP 7.1, and also a new experimental branch that implements a JIT engine. Is something that is being worked on by Dmitry Stogov from Zend and his team. And what matters is that there were significant gains, at least for pure CPU tasks. Pure CPU tasks are those that do not require I/O operations like accessing databases,
files,
network connections, and so on.
Sessions.
Because once you need that, PHP will have to wait for whatever I/O operation to finish to move on. So there were like several benchmark scripts, and there is one that came from, I think it's from Zend. It's part of the PHP distribution. The source distribution. It's very raw because that is not the typical code that you would write. This is just for the purpose of evaluating performance. And then Christian put together all these versions and run them. And it's like we've noticed that, if I'm not mistaken, it's like 27 times faster from PHP 5 to PHP 7.1.
Yes. Wow.
Yes, so it's a lot, but if this is just for pure CPU tasks, there will be also a benchmark that has been working on with some time to actually run a typical WordPress homepage script to see how it goes. that is closer to a real world application. But what matters that the gains are not as significant as we can see here. That is because there are some I/O operations, probably reading files from either from cache or configuration files. I don't know. It depends on what the WordPress script will do. The idea to test WordPress is more to show a real-world application. Not that everybody likes WordPress, but many people use it. So this is just to give a reference. And from what I heard, the gains between PHP 7.1 and the experimental JIT branch are not as significant as for pure CPU tasks. As you may see here, there is almost a 50% gain between PHP 7.1 and what may be PHP 8 or PHP 7.2 with this JIT engine. And for when you use it toward WordPress, I think the gains are just like 5%. So it's still something, but not a big deal. So, but still there will be a lot of work to optimize and develop this new branch. So let's wait and see. Anyway, one interesting thing that is also in this article is the list of changes that made PHP faster over time. There are many changes. I'm not going to review all of them here. Just to mention that, there was a significant change between PHP 5 and PHP 7.0 due to many reasons. The original plan for PHP 7, which was not yet called 7, was PHP NG, was to make way to implement a JIT engine. But in the end, there were other types of optimizations that could be performed, and still it gained a lot of performance. For PHP 7.1, there were a few performance improvements, but a great part of them came from the optimization of PHP bytecode, or better, it should probably better be called opcode, I think. I think this came from what in the past used to be the Zend optimizer. Before executing PHP, you know that when the code is parsed, it is converted into opcode, which is a sort of assembly language that is interpreted and executed at runtime. And in PHP 7.1, it was integrated the optimization tricks, I would say, for these opcodes that came from Zend optimizers. Still, it gained a good bit of performance, as you may see here. Like 40%, which is quite a lot, but still this is for pure CPU tasks. We'll have to get back here when there are the results for real world applications like WordPress. So about this article, I don't know if you have anything else to comment, Arthur, anything you wanted to mention.
I just tweeted it. That's really impressive. I don't know. There's nothing more to say. That comparing the CPU intensive even tasks, but you can see the improvement and combining all the aspects of a change in each version. That's a really impressive work on author's side.
Yes, and there aren't many people that contributed for the performance improvement, but one of the people that probably contributed more to the actual performance tricks was Dmitry Stogov. Previously, he created one accelerating extension many years ago called Turk MM Cache, but then he moved on to Zend, and over there he continued to work on more improvements, but he was not the only one to work on those improvements. He mentioned that he had a collaboration by Xinchen Hui and Nikita Popov for PHP 7 and later. So, I don't know, besides the JIT engine, how far you can go to optimize PHP further in terms of raw CPU tasks performance, because we all know there is one thing missing in PHP, which is good asynchronous support. Not that you can't perform asynchronous tasks, but it's still not a natural thing in PHP. There is, I think it's called React PHP or something like that, that a library like that that provides wrappers to run things asynchronously, but it's still in the level of Node.js before async and await. And async and await were implemented recently. Are you already using async and await in Node.js?
No, not yet.
Yeah. So it's the benefit of having asynchronous programming without having the callback hell pain. Anyway, somebody that could collaborate with the PHP core would be the Facebook people, because they have implemented async and await in the hack language, which is derived from PHP. So other than that, I don't think what else PHP can be improved. There are a few things like those bootstrap snapshot tricks, but which is good for applications that use frameworks that have long bootstrap times. But after that, I don't see anything else that could be improved. Maybe some new technology that we don't know yet. Okay, let's wait and see what comes after this. For now, there's still some work to do until it is ready for PHP 8 or PHP 7.2. But between now and then, there will be an update to this article to cover performance of WordPress. Okay, moving on to the next topic. If I find the share screen again. There, we are going to start about some proposals that were presented last month. Since it was the month of Christmas vacation, I guess there were less proposals than in previous months. But still, there were a few. A bit weird, I must confess, but there were a few proposals. The first that we are going to comment is one called Magic Casting, which is a proposal. I don't think it was very well accepted, but the idea is, for instance, a function that accepts an object of a certain class if you pass a different object, a different type of value, it will make PHP create an object of that class and call a new super method call underscore underscore cast. And that will convert whatever is the value that is being passed. So the example here is to pass, let's say, a collection class. If you pass an array to a function that expects a collection, in the process, it will call the cast function to convert it. I don't know if this is something very appealing. What do you think, Arthur? Would this be something that you would like to use?
Maybe not specifically, but in some cases, I could find it useful. I think it could be used to, For example, I think in Java, every object has a method to string, and depends on the object what you have, it converts it to string differently. So you could do something similar. You could do a string class and then create cast methods for different types, like for number, for object, for JSON object, and stuff like that. And that there are no JSON objects, I think, in PHP, but well, you get the point. And so you can convert them differently to string, and
yeah,
it all would work.
Well, I don't know, but what I know is, yeah, I actually reviewed this before, and we had a hard time trying to follow all the being proposed here. Anyway, I think we described it more or less well. I hope so. So this is the proposal, having a magic cast method. PHP has already so many magic methods. That's one more. Okay, the next proposal. It's also not very clear, but this is an RFC to type generalization for throwable error codes. And I think this is for exception objects or throwable objects.
Errors, throwable exceptions to all of yeah. them, I think.
I didn't know that it had a second and a third parameter, or is this the proposal?
They had the third or second parameter an integer, second parameter an integer, I think, for forced. That's the only, I think, where they force, the only place when they force code to be integer or yeah. number, basically.
Yeah, but, well, the idea, what says here is that allowing any type can open to new possibilities for this property that is currently almost useless, like enum, enum sets, objects.
Well, yeah, I think so basically the problem is, to summarize, is that it seems to be that the correct way is to have a code as number, as integer. But, for example, PDO extension misuses it, and it's not an integer, it's a string. The code is string. So instead of forcing PDO to use numbers, the suggestion is to allow to have numbers or strings in all of them, not only in throwable, but in error and exception.
Yeah. Like that. Well, I don't know how exceptions work in other languages. It's not something that I use much. I never got used much to exceptions, but that, for instance, in JavaScript, is there this flexibility of throwing things?
Yeah, sure. There is no specific properties, I think, like code mostly, but yes, yeah. You can throw exceptions.
No, of course I know you can throw exceptions. It was not invented in PHP. What I meant is there this thing of codes and
no, I think on the place I've seen it is in Java that they have yeah. code integer too. So I think it mostly would be suitable like for HTTP transactions, error code, like HTTP code and some stuff like that. So, but usually the problem is it throws the code and you look at the code and you need to look in the documentation what this error with this code actually means and stuff like that. Instead, they could use some string as error code that would make more sense to developer.
Well, I suspected that this was yet another proposal to copy Java. But I cannot say this very loud or else people will say that I'm passing misinformation. Things like that. I really have no idea. Let me pin this here. I was showing this one. Okay. Well, this is not a big deal, but that's the kind of things that weird things that are being proposed this month. Next, there was a rehash of a proposal that was submitted already in 2012, and once in a while they come back because it was voted and it was declined, but they are trying to get it back, which would be to implement what they call property accessors, very similar to C Sharp. Basically, you could, for each variable, you could define functions that would be calling when you are getting, setting, and checking if it is set, and then setting a variable of class. And I find it interesting that people are so eager to make PHP like Java that they no longer call variables. Variables they call properties, and the functions are not functions. Functions are methods.
Normal.
We might. It's
object oriented approach.
Yes. Oh, right. It's only object oriented approach if it is like Java. So we might as well end this podcast and start another one called Lately in Java.
Question: how do you know it's similar to C Sharp? Do you know C Sharp well?
Oh, because I read the proposal before. This was not. I missed the original article because this is the old proposal, the one that was declined. I should have pasted the URL of the actual discussion that is being rehashed. But personally, I think this is fine because you no longer call getters and setters. You just assign the variable, and implicitly it will call the getters and setters. What I do not like here is to have to define a getter and setter for each variable.
If you want to, only, and I think it's mandatory, so it's easier. If you either way going to do them, it's better to have them in one place, in one scope, so it's more readable.
Yeah. I don't know if you can define only one type, one setter and getter. Okay. People nowadays are writing so much complicated PHP code that sometimes I have a hard time reviewing and approving classes in PHP classes because I spend a lot of time trying to understand what that means, to see what is the purpose of each class. But okay, that's the sign of times. It's progress. So I'm not complaining. Okay, anyway, moving on to the next topic. And this one is probably even harder to understand, which is about starting using objects instead of resources. Resources, this is the name of opaque values that are being used since PHP, well, since the beginning of PHP. For instance, when we establish a connection to a database, it will return a resource value, which in practice is an integer number, which is just a reference to something that internally has some data regarding, for instance, database connections, probably has some socket information. But this is transparent for PHP developers. It should not matter. So the proposal here seems to be to return objects instead of resources, and those objects will be called hash contexts. That is, if I'm getting this right, and I admit I may not be getting this right. I don't know. Arthur, did you understand what was the purpose of this?
Well, sort of, yeah. So basically, as you said, currently, or not currently, but previously, there was a hash init, hash underscore init function, which returned the resource, and then you pass it to all the other functions that you want to do something with your hash. It's like, instead of returning an instance, it returns the reference to it, to resource, yes. So, but now they want to migrate it to object-oriented approach, to Java style, as you said. Okay, but that was a joke. But yeah, so, and the class would be called, or is already maybe called hash context. I don't know if, in what state it is. And so instead of using resources and static functions, you would use object-oriented approach and have an instance and do things on it.
Yeah, well, Maybe this is actually a cool feature, and we don't know. We probably figure it out in a few years. It's like traits. Traits, it's a cool feature, but when it was proposed, it was not really obvious. Oh, that will create messy code. But in the end, when you start seeing really good traits, this is cool. You can actually turn any object into anything else unrelated with the object, but it's useful. Like, I have a database access class that can also be a collection of something, result sets or something. And we need to wait and see what will be the good applications of this proposal when this proposal is finally implemented, because for now it is not being yet under voting. So moving on to one last topic, it is what they call decorator classes. Well, as we know, decorator classes are meant for implemented the decorator pattern, and usually it's something like before and after calling this function, you also call these functions, probably adding some data before and after the result of the decorated function. So the proposal here, if I got this right, is to have a new keyword called decorates, and I don't know what else is different. It's probably just a variant of extends. Instead of having the keyword extends, it would be called decorate, but I did not follow the implications of this proposal. I don't know, Arthur, did you understand what would be the...
Yeah, I think yes, it basically is the same as extend. I don't see much of a difference. I know I have not used PHP for quite some time. So if you do extend and you are not implementing all the methods, they are proxy to the original class, right?
Sorry, I didn't follow.
So if you use extend on a class and you do not implement or overwrite all the methods that in original class has, so the original class methods are called, right?
Right.
Yeah, so
that's how inheritance works.
So I really don't see the
difference, right?
Difference, yeah. The only thing it seems to be storing the instance to original class in this decorated property, and that's all. So it's like a new class only with a reference to the old instance internally or something like that.
Somebody that commented just said, this is just too much syntax sugar, and it will save very little time while implementing a few methods that take. Okay. Well, that's probably right. I don't know. For me, it's not that I use the decorated pattern every day, but I can understand this maybe useful to provide branding. Let's say if you have a system and let's say a forum system, but you want to implement some branding, instead of using the plugins and such that some people use, like WordPress, that start calling global functions everywhere, you could use the decorator pattern. Well, but it makes sense, because not everything for implementing plugins is like decoration. And it's like the that comment said, probably not a big benefit. It just to make it called explicitly decoration instead of extension. I don't know. That's what it seems to me. Hello, this is the Innovation Award edition of January, on which, as always, we are going to talk about the nominees of the past month. Starting from October, they were nominated in November, and then in December the results come out. So now we can comment about them. So let's start with the JavaScript classes. In October, they were nominated like six packages. Arthurs, which ones would you like to comment?
Let me share the screen first. Let me share the funny video of Manuel Lemos first.
No, please don't.
Yeah, okay. Everyone can check it on Manuel's Facebook timeline, so don't need to share it here.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, my mom already gone to heaven, so she will not be embarrassed anymore. Okay, but back to the packages.
Yeah, so the first package I would want to comment on is AH JavaScript Password Strength Check. Developed by Axel Hahn, that's, I assume, why AH, from Switzerland. And basically, it allows you to check password strength, monitoring some input. So there is even a demo here, which is not showing up, but works.
Not sure.
In a new window. It works in a new window for some reason. Okay. Yes.
I see. Oh yes, that's because now the site is HTTPS and it.
That could be a problem. So we are.
It's a problem because browsers don't make it the page insecure just because you have iframes that are not.
Yes. Yeah, we were having this similar problem somewhere too. Okay, so. We can enter the some passwords test. Okay, for lowercase, let's make a digit, a special character, an uppercase character, and another character to make it 8. And yeah, it all works. So something like this, and probably it provides comprehensive callbacks so you can modify UI or display it whatever you want. I actually needed to implement something like this similarly before New Year. So where were you then in October? Okay. I think
October.
I could have used that. Yeah, I could have used that, but it's more too late, unfortunately. But yes, thanks to Axel for this package, and he did not pick a prize, as I see.
Yes. In this case, he explicitly said that he did not want the prize because he is already having great fun submitting great packages, and that's good to know because this one and the others that he submitted are quite good ones.
Okay, so the next package is Cloud.js from Farhadur Rahim from Bangladesh, and this package is a jQuery plugin which provides a way to allow users to save something from your website to their cloud storages like Google Drive or Dropbox. Again, there is a demo, and again, it's not working here, but all working in a new window. So it looks something like this, I think. Probably would ask me to authenticate. Yeah, exactly. And then provide you some kind of an API to use it to send the file or anything you want into your cloud storage account.
Yeah, this is pretty useful. Just a few JavaScript lines, and you can tell people, oh, send it to my Dropbox account.
Yep. Sounds very useful.
I think it takes a URL of some page, or not sure anymore.
So it looks something like Yeah, you need to provide some keys to applications, and just add data filing in this case, I think, but probably it could be more complicated than that.
Oh, I see.
Okay, and Farhadur chose one ebook of choice by Pact for this package. And the last one is jQuery create slug from text. So slug is basically the URL name that you usually try to make from the similar title. So search engines would rank your page better on these keywords. And it was developed by Afshin Akhar from Iran. Also as a jQuery plugin, and then there is also a demo, also not working, but works here. And so we can do JavaScript, we podcast, and some random symbols. Also, it transfers dollar to dollar. Interesting. Does it do? Yeah, no, yeah. I think. And yeah, okay, so it does some interesting translation. And yeah, if you are preparing articles and you need to have search engine optimized URL, then you can use this package to do that easier.
Yeah.
And Afshin got one downloadable ebook of choice by O'Reilly for this package.
Yes, this is good to know. I started using some slugs manually defined for the blog posting system. And the default is to use some rules like those, like translating some characters. But if I want to edit the slug for some reason, I need to do it manually. So maybe a class like this would be helpful. Okay. So on my behalf, I also like to mention a few packages, starting this one, JS Filer from Valo Reima from Estonia. He has submitted quite a bunch of...
You are not sharing a screen, sorry.
Sorry.
We like looking at you, but we would prefer looking at the one that developed the package.
No, you're just being nice. We're just saying... Nobody likes to look at me.
Zoom in, please. That would be even better.
Yeah. Okay. It's not Zoom.
Nope. Yep. Now it is.
Yeah. Okay. So this package is basically a jQuery plugin that is nice because it allows you to manipulate data that is in tree view. So you can add nodes, not only you can display the nodes in nested tree views, but you can also perform other operations like adding, renaming, removing, searching, copying, moving tree view. So it's the whole set of possibilities to manipulate tree views with items. Unfortunately, we don't have a demo to show, just an example script, as you may see here.
Yeah, which is hard to understand.
Yes, because, well, it is not even highlighted, but I don't know if it was highlighted, if it would help. I could swear I have seen a demo somewhere. Let me check. Sometimes the person puts in the README.
Or maybe there was a link added or something like that.
In the link
section, or README section.
Well, usually people put in the... there is a link here. Oh, but this site does not support this type. I would say some unsafe scripts. I don't even know what are those. Probably other of those are ads. Okay. Are you seeing it now?
Yep.
Yes, it even sends AJAX requests to load. I think those are AJAX requests.
What else that would load faster?
Yeah. I don't know. Or maybe it's simulating. You can edit the node. And you can copy, right?
So you can create a file system.
Basically, yes. I think what I said, copy. Isn't this a copy?
Probably, but you need to paste too, no?
No, it's not working. I don't know if there is an issue. Well, it is supposed to do that. Embed page file, I should delete. No, okay, delete. And copy. Can I edit? Create a new. Okay. But for some reason, copy is not copying anything. And cutting it is also not cutting anything. Maybe there is some issue. Anyway, it is a nice package from Valorama, from Estonia, as I said. And he got one license of IP2 country database for using in geo-targeted applications. The next
as
package
I that see, as I see, the name was much, much, much longer. You just skipped some parts.
Oh, yes, because the IP2 country people want to specify the version, what details it contains.
Okay.
All the details, because they have 20 versions. This, wow. It was important to specify this one.
Yeah, so not to confuse anyone, right?
Yeah, it's just to say that the free version does not have probably much more than the country and the latitude and longitude, and probably some city name, and the rest, I think, is not there. Okay. Anyway, the next process, the package I want to comment, is called Collab MES, and it is from Jakub Kroll from Poland. And it's interesting because this is more of your field. It's a package for Node.js, but it uses already ECMAScript 6 code to create some worker processes and a manager that creates the worker processes. And it can send messages between them, which is always good because when you have created some worker process that are performing some task, it probably needs to communicate back the result. So this is a package from Jakub Kroll. I already mailed Jakub Kroll, but for some reason he is not answering, so I'm not sure if I'm getting his mail right. For some reason, this is complaining that the page is not secure. Could be the heads. That may, could it be the reason that the data was not working? You can click here, click in details, and reload.
Mixed content, yeah.
HTTP.
You'll have a reference somewhere.
Oh, those are some heads. Oh, I know. I need to fix. I've been migrating to SSL gradually. So if you find these warnings, don't worry, I'll fix them soon. So the next package that I want to comment is this one that is quite nice, JavaScript PDF Flipbook, that allows you to browse PDF documents like a book, turning its pages. It is a package from Eric Akartuna from Turkey. I hope all is well in Turkey. And what this package does, it would be interesting to see the demo again.
I would like to see it too. Again? What do you mean again? You already saw that? How interesting.
I have to. It's my duty.
Don't spoil it.
It's loading the article. So it loads the PDF article. I think it uses PDF.js.
Is it a secret?
I'm not sure. But it's a combination of things. So it's nice. Actually, it's very fast. Is there something to slow down?
Yeah, it's like skipping a frame, and I only see one frame of turning right now. So if you want to see it in real life, you would need to open the demo and look at yourself, because from the video it's really hard to understand, I think.
No, this is the demo,
Yeah,
real
so
demo.
I mean, the users that are watching or listening, they would need to view that themselves to understand how good it is.
Or is it that my machine is too fast?
No, your network is too slow.
Oh, maybe it's that. But anyway, it is nice that it even makes the noise of flipping a book
Ooh.
page.
Can you even smell paper?
I think that API is still in beta. HTML5 smell
Smelling.
API.
That would be nice. Full
Oh,
experience.
you just wait and see. Well, once I saw that now you can jump on the top of a drone and fly by yourself,
Yeah, like an Iron Man.
I can expect anything. Oh, Iron Man is outdated.
Yeah,
Everything there is possible already. Anyway.
even Zuckerberg built Jarvis, so everything is possible.
Oh, don't tell me about it. Okay. Do you also give voice commands to mobile phones and things like that? Or
No, not really. I think it's mostly used on English language, and my accent is not that good to be understood correctly.
But if there it was possible for your language, would you use it?
While driving, definitely. Other than that, probably not.
I don't know. Personally, I'll feel stupid, and then I'll feel frustrated because most of the time it didn't work.
Yeah, that's the main reason.
Yeah, but I don't know. But you are right. Maybe driving sometimes it's useful because you can't use your hands in many places, or else can cause an accident.
So
Anyway,
you can tell your phone, catch Pokemon or something like that.
are you playing Pokemon these days?
Yes, usually when we are shopping and I'm bored.
The right answer is no, because my kids want me to. It's not me, it's my kids.
It's me who hooked them up. So I'm ashamed, I know. Yeah, I'm looking down right now.
But you have a gamer blood, so I don't know. I thought it was a trend that already stopped, but if you are still playing it, I don't know. But anyway, there are still people that play. What was that 3D game called
There are
online?
lots of 3D games. World
No,
of Warcraft?
not. It was one that even had banks and supermarkets.
Second Life?
Second Life, exactly. I was told that there is still people playing Second Life, so
Could
Pokemon
be.
is pretty modern. Okay, anyway, moving on to the JavaScript Innovation Award. We had like 12 nominees. And okay, which ones would you like to comment?
You won't comment about the overall structure of the JS classes.
Yes, of course, me and my Alzheimer attacks. Anyway, you are reaching to the end, but we still have 1 month to vote, so the results are not final yet.
I can give you one more suggestion. Do you want to hear it?
About what?
About
And
sharing your
sharing,
screen. Yeah.
and turning on the lights while you are at it.
So
Okay.
get yourself together.
Because I went to sleep late and woke up earlier than my usual.
Yeah, on the other hand, I just slept before the podcast because I know we would record late.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. It's all messed out. Anyway, I was, as I was saying, for the Innovation Award of the year rankings, and the stuff is ahead with 6 packs and 32 points. This didn't change much since the last month. And it's followed by Dantini Francois with 5 packs and 18 points. Everton De Rosa with 2 packs and 7 points. Juan Jose from Spain and Axel Hahn and Far Adur Hakim are tied with 6 points. Valdo Zimanek, Gustavo Davila, Shin Afgar, Martin Latter are all tied with 5 points.
For a minute, I thought that was one long name.
What? Oh, you thought it was just one person.
Some Brazilian name, probably common name.
Yeah. Even though, well, there are some Brazilians here, but one of them has an uncommon name.
Yeah.
Sounds more Polish than Brazilian, but okay. Anyway, by country, things are more or less the same. Hungary is ahead with 6 packs and 22 points. Dantini Francois with from France is with 6 packs and 21 points is in second. Sorry, I was mentioning by country. I was saying France is in second place with 6 packs and 21 points. Brazil is in third with 17 points. United Kingdom is tied with Spain with 9 points. Germany and Mexico are tied in 6th place with 7 points. Switzerland is in 8th place with Bangladesh with 6 points. And finally, Iran with 5 points is in 10th. Now we are finally moving on to the PHP Innovation Award winners of October. So which ones would you like to comment, Arthur?
I would like to not forget to share my screen. This one is correct, I think. And new design, I still need to get used to it because I just thought I'd opened incorrect website.
What are you seeing?
No, always good. It's just new colors.
Okay. You still need some fixes, but I guess it's not a problem.
Okay, so the first package is an encryption helper, which helps you encrypt and decrypt GET query lists, developed by Michael Cummings from United States. And basically what this class does, as it says, it allows you to encrypt your GET query and decrypt it, or even provide like a checksum check, a checksum parameter would check if anything was changed in the request. Again, I actually needed something like this recently, but in Node.js. But yeah, a similar thing.
Interesting. You know, this site is very good. It has very, very excellent components. You should always take a look.
Yeah, I should always check before I code. I know.
Yeah, that's the purpose of reusing. Not that I practice it very, very much.
I just wanted to say that, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so we are talking about which one?
The encryption helper. So, and I don't know if there is. No,
okay.
Oh yeah, there is example could be here, or it could not be here. Okay, for some reason, nothing is there. And Michael got one download bully book of choice by O'Reilly for this package. The second one is PHP Web Application Firewall. I think we talked about it in the last
article. Because there was an article.
So he shared how this class protected his website, and he could detect some malicious requests trying to do something bad, mostly trying WordPress paths, I think, but also some others attacks. So it was developed by Roman Schneer from Israel, and yes, it's like a firewall for the application through which goes all the requests and tries to detect some malicious requests and logs them and prevents them from reaching your website, and you can whitelist or teach it to receive normal requests and stuff like that. And yeah, you can read the article to get more information about it. And he got one big elevated PHP and plush mascot. Yeah, it's nice. So not the first one, but the second one got it. Good.
Yeah. Sometimes the first one, the winner does not want to the...
Or he already has it, maybe, I don't know.
Well, you know, people are sometimes value other prizes. And it's okay too, that's why we have many prizes, right?
Sure. Completely okay.
On my behalf, also like to comment on the remaining packages, starting this one, PHP Google Books API. It's basically a wrapper to send a request to the Google Books API to retrieve information about books, like titles, authors, publishers, categories, even thumbnails. So it's useful if for some reason you want to get information of existing books from an official, I don't say official, but probably a very complete database. And this package was developed by Mohammad Hassad from India. And he picked as prize Commodore IDE. The next package that I want to comment, this is a more complex one. It's called Birch ATS. It's basically a CRM and ticket system and the employee management system. So it's practically a whole application, and that was developed by Birch Lab, which is not the name of the person, but probably.
Are you sure?
Company.
How can you know?
Because I mailed him, I just don't remember the name because I need to check.
Okay.
I have this difficulty to remember the names of all the over 4,000 contributors.
Authors, yeah.
Yes, that's a bit of a challenge.
Do you increase your social skills, Manuel?
Yes, I have to borrow. I have to put my brain in the cloud so I can scale. maybe that will solve it. Yes, I just recently remember that now Google also has a sort of a cloud that has a MySQL version on top of Bigtable. Are you familiar with that? Actually, this exists for a few years now. We just don't talk much about it. It's an emulation of MySQL, so you can use the MySQL libraries to connect to the database, but it is on top of Bigtable. But they emulate everything, and their cloud system is on top of that. So they were only concerned with that because they needed to run WordPress, or else you cannot say it's a PHP site. And anyway, back to the actual package that we are going to. We were commenting, as I mentioned, this is a complete tracking system, and it's probably very useful for people that want to a complete solution. I think much about implementing things as modules because it has many modules, and that's why this package has like 944 files.
Wow.
So this is a whole application. But this one is one of the small ones. There was one package that reached the record of 7,000 files. I think the author stuffed the whole frameworks that he's using inside, which is very likely. But it's still a valid submission because as long as it is object-oriented based, it complies with the submission rules. What happens is that sometimes I have to read a lot about the code, and it takes me some time to elaborate a description that is useful enough for people that come in here and see. Anyway, this package, the author did not want a price, which is nice, and I am glad that he is having fun participating in the Innovation Award too. So with this, we reach the part on which we comment the rankings of the Innovation Award winners of the year so far. There is still one more month to go in terms of classes to be voted. But so far, Christian Wieg is well ahead with 10 packages and 79 points, followed by Dave Smith with 5 packages and 48 points. I think... looking here at the current month nominees, there is 1-2 packages from Christian Wieg, and I don't know. Oh, there's one from Dave Smith. I think practically the Christian Wieg already won the Innovation Award of 2016. So congratulations to Christian Wieg. But still, we have to mention the other places in the ranking. So after Dave Smith from the United States, there's Johnny Mast with 3 packages and 41 points from Netherlands. Luciano Salvino from Argentina with 4 packages and 40 points. Lars Morgan from Germany with 3 packages and 34 points is tied with Bharat Parmar from India. Then in seventh place is Bruno-Henrique Ferreira-Oliveira with 3 packages and 32 points, followed by Kirill Savchev from Bulgaria with 4 packages and 28 points. Finally, Alexei Namiro is tied with Mohamed El-Baha, I'm not sure if that's the way to pronounce his name, from Morocco with 2 packages and 27 points. That is for winners as individuals. Now, by country, the Innovation Award Championship is not yet decided, because this time the United States passed France, and they have like 15 packages and 119 points. And France is in second place with 14 packages and 114 points. And then also Brazil is very close. This is not yet easy to predict who is going to win, because it could be either of these countries. It depends on the results of the voting of this month. So let's wait and see, because there, well, for Brazil, I think it did not be possible, but for France and the United States, it's still up to the results of this month voting to determine which one will win. Anyway, in fourth place, there's Russia with 10 packages and 85 points, India with 6 packages and 66 points, the Netherlands with 4 packages and 55 points, Argentina and Spain are tied with 6 packages and 54 points, Germany is next in ninth place with 6 packages and 53 points, and finally Nigeria with 4 packages and with 5 packages and 46 points. Well, anyway, for this month, we have covered all the new topics. Since we are in January, I can see there is already more activity, and next month we'll be covering more of these proposals for PHP and related matters. So with this, we practically ended this podcast, and on my behalf, that is all for now. Bye.
Bye.